second time's a charm. It is lovely to see you all here this morning. Would you stand with us as we sing our opening song, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus?
Thank you, worship team. Good morning, and welcome to our worship service here this morning. This is the third Sunday of Advent, which is meant to remind us of the joy that the world experienced at the birth of Jesus. We want to take a moment to recognize the flowers here at the front this morning. They are in memory of Harry Wheeler, who passed away last week. Our prayers and thoughts go out to Erica and the family as they mourn this tremendous loss. As a part of our worship service, we like to take a moment to turn to our attention to the bulletin and see what is happening in the life of the church. I'll highlight a few announcements here. There is a Christmas Advent gathering this Tuesday, December 13th at 5:30 p.m. in the church gym. Come and enjoy a traditional Christmas meal, carol singing, and devotional. All are welcome, but we are asking that all who plan to attend to please pre-register by contacting John and Ursula Dirksen. And more details can be found in your bulletin or see John and Ursula Dirksen. Please take note of the updates in regards to our annual budget for the remainder of the year. Your tithes and offerings are much appreciated, and we thank you for your generous support. And in the wider church community, next Sunday, December 18th at 3 p.m., Bethany Mennonite Church in Virgil is hosting a Christmas carol concert, Joy to the World, featuring the season choral directed by Bert Workington. So this event is open for everyone, and a free will offering to support local food banks will be taken. So be sure to come out and enjoy some Christmas carols. And just please be sure to read your bulletin in full, as there are many other updates and important information listed in there. Our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading. The reading will be behind me here on the screen. I will read on behalf of the leader, and we ask that you respond aloud as the people. Look, I am sending my messenger. Go tell what you have seen.
God's awesome wonders show you.
For his yoke is easy, his burdens are light. Great is thy faithfulness. Each year after Taya decorates our Christmas tree at home, which actually hasn't happened this year. We've been quite busy, but I'm anticipating it happening soon, okay? So each year after Taya decorates the tree, I'm just the one who sets up the tree. I have nothing to do with decorating. Anyways, I look at the tree in awe and observe all the wonderful ornaments on it. I always search for my favorite ornament on the tree. It is an ornament of a Santa Claus. He's kneeling down at the side of baby Jesus in the manger. It's a beautiful sight, a sight that brings upon so much emotion for me. A reminder of the true meaning of Christmas, the greatest gift of all. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Please read responsively to our candle lighting liturgy, and I'll invite Taya down as well to light the candles. Yes. That's okay. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is soon. As we gather strength, we light the candle as a sign of your love made visible among us. Let us join together in prayer, and then the music team will lead us in song. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us remember that the good news of Jesus' birth has the power to bring us great joy this Christmas season. Our joy isn't dependent on what is going on in our life, in our world, or the people that we are with. It doesn't depend on the gifts we give, or the gifts we find under the tree. No earthly thing can ever give us complete joy. Our joy comes from you, that joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, the angels, the wise men, the hosts of heaven, and Mary and Joseph, is the joy that still has power to overwhelm our hearts with rejoicing. Father, you offer that same joy to us now if we know you and recognize Jesus as our Savior and Lord. You gave us a reason to celebrate when you gave us the unspeakable gift of Jesus Christ. You came to dwell among us. You went to Calvary's cross for us. You overcame death and rose from the dead for us. You forgave our sins and give us eternal life when we believe in you. Our true joy does not come from our jobs, our finances, or our success. Our joy does not come from what we have on earth or where we are. Our joy is a gift. It is a gift that you give us on that first Christmas in Jesus Christ. Our joy is encompassed in our Savior, King Jesus. Flood our hearts with joy this Advent season as we reflect on the good news of Jesus' birth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Music team.
children's story. Come on up, kids. Awesome. So fun to be over here by the sparkly tree, right? And I'm looking at the ornaments that we've put up so far, and I am seeing on this side the sword being made into a plow. That one's turned a little bit. I've got the wolf with the lamb. We've got another one to put up today. But before we talk about our next ornament, I have to ask you, we did talk about it a little bit in Sunday school, but none of our friends out here heard. What are we? We're very excited about what will go under the tree Christmas, right? What are you asking for Christmas? Stephanie, tell the group. Yes.
A magic pot.
And we heard about all the things you can create with it. We're very excited about that. Marcus, did you have something to share? You would like one too? Outstanding. Two in one house. Mom and Dad are probably thrilled. Yes, outstanding. Who had something else that they wanted to share? Evelyn, yeah. Also, that is the gift of the season. Toys R Us people should be listening right now. I love it. That is super exciting. There are so many neat things. And many of you said, you know what? I'm happy with whatever I get. Just excited about Christmas coming, and that is awesome too. And you know, when we talk about Christmas gifts and when we think about buying things for other people, we're often talking about things that we think will bring us or other people joy, right? And if you look behind you and you look at the banner, right, I'm looking right behind Emily, and it says J-O-Y, joy, and that is the theme for today's Advent Sunday. And we're super excited to read in the book of Isaiah. Again, remember, Isaiah is a prophet. He lived long, long ago, and he was predicting what things would be like. So I want you to listen to the Bible verse for today, and let's see all the joyful things he is predicting. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The joy of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Whew, that is some kind of a happy Bible passage, hey? And you know, it sounds like there's a lot of joyful things happening, but gosh, there are a lot of words in there that don't make a lot of sense, right? Carmel and Sharon, I think those are places, but I've never been there. But there is one thing in there that I know and that you might know too, and that is something called a crocus. I have a picture of it here. In fact, it's on our next ornament. Has anyone ever seen that flower before? They're not always purple. They come in many, many colors. But they're interesting because look at what the crocus is growing in. What is it growing in? Pardon? Sometimes it does grow in sand, you're right. In fact, in the Bible passage, it talks about how it's growing in sand. Can you see? I know that's very far away. Take a good look. Someone can come up close if they want to see it. Jane, come look and report back. What's on there? What's it growing in? Oh, Emily's got it. Snow. And that is one of the flowers that blooms first when snow is still holding to the ground, when it's still cold and wintry, and we're looking and waiting for spring to come. The crocus is one of the flowers that actually pushes through the snow. It's kind of unbelievable. And in this Bible passage, Isaiah is saying that just like that crocus that blooms in the desert, because that would have been the kind of place he was living at the time, that's the kind of joy we're going to have, the joy that can pass any obstacle, no matter how hard it is, no matter how cold it is, no matter how dry it is. Evelyn? Oh, just stretch it. That's all good, too. Awesome. And you know, it is a really good image for us to think about, and it's something amazing for us to wonder about this week while we're thinking about Third Advent. So God has joyful plans for us. He has things in mind for us that are going to make us even happier than a magic pot. And that's kind of awesome, isn't it, to think about God's joy for us. So we're going to put this ornament on the tree, and this crocus flower is going to help us remember that Jesus is going to bring us joy, even when it's dark and sad and cold and sandy and dry, just like the crocus flower. Who hasn't had a turn yet to put an ornament up? I know that you have, Evelyn, for sure. Has someone not had a turn yet? Jane, do you want to have a turn this time? Okay, we'll make sure everyone gets a shot. So there you go. You put that one wherever you like. And there is our reminder. All right, let's bow our heads for prayer. God, help us to see the beauty all around us as a reminder of the joy that trusting in you can bring all of us. Amen.
We have some other joy today, quite exciting. Would like to invite Calvin and Sarah Hildebrandt, and together with son Robin, and Chris and Candace Penner with son Wesley to come forward. As a pastor, for me, this is one of those times when Psalm 121, the closing verse, come on around this side here. The closing verse kind of really fits in, that the Lord watches over our coming and our going, because most of you are familiar with me sharing at times of funerals, and this is the time of God's blessing of coming, and so a very special occasion today. As parents, we're sharing and presenting children to God and sharing with them, with you as congregation, and so as an act of gratitude and thankfulness to God, these are lives entrusted to you and to us as a community. And so we want to ask for God's blessings today. As a congregation, we share in your joy, and we share our prayers with you today and the days to come, receiving these children into the care of the community. As a Christian community, we commit ourselves to teaching, nurture each other, and especially for children, toward a relationship with Jesus in the hope that one day they will decide to follow Jesus in their own relationship. And so while we dedicate children to God, we also dedicate ourselves in Christian faith that may take root in them and lead for them a decision to follow Jesus and in the future a step of baptism. These questions to you as parents, do you accept Robin and Wesley as a gift from God? So, answer, we do. Do you dedicate yourselves as parents to bring up Robin and Wesley in the sharing and the nurture with them, the teachings of Jesus, worship of God, reading the scriptures, practice of prayer, devotion of serving God with the gifts and abilities that God has entrusted to you? So, answer, we do. Celebrating and honoring your words of commitment, we as a faith community want to share these words with you. There is responsive reading on the screen. Calvin and Sarah, Chris and Candace, created in the image of God, each child is a gift of God in love and mercy. And Jesus did not treat children as some future potential, but declared them to be partners in God's kingdom. Invite your response.
As parents, we are overwhelmed at times that God has entrusted us with the precious gift of a child. Today, we dedicate Robin, Wesley, and our parenting to God. We also invite your partnership in the Christian faith community within our family.
Congregation, we share in your joy over God's gifts of Robin and Wesley. May God give you grace in parenting so that God's wisdom grows through you. May Robin and Wesley have opportunities to experience Jesus' love. May they grow to know God's forgiveness through your example of Christian faith. As a church family, we will seek to be mentors and models of Christian faith with you, and with you we will live so that Robin and Wesley have opportunities to trust in God. Meet Jesus and follow Jesus as their Lord and Savior. May God bless you and keep you. May I see Robin? Oh, goodness. Oh, goodness. This is your faith family. Calvin and Sarah, may the wisdom of God be with you in heart, and may these words be a blessing upon Robin's life. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Robin, grow in God's goodness and follow the vision that God gives you for healing and hope through Jesus Christ. And God's blessing be upon you all your life. Amen. There we are. Robin, you got a little ways to go here. I'll slide over here. Boy, you're a big boy, aren't you? Yeah. There we are. Hiccups. Yeah. Well, no, they're still there. Chris and Candace, seek the wisdom of God, and with all your heart, may these words be a blessing upon Wesley's life. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith and be a person of courage. Be strong and do everything in love. Wesley, grow in God's goodness and follow the vision that God gives you for healing and hope through Jesus Christ, and God's blessing be with you all your life. Amen. I invite you to bow with me in prayer. Gracious God, as we anticipate the birth of Jesus once again, we welcome Wesley and Robin into the care and nurture of our faith community. For all the joys and challenges they will face in the future, may the Holy Spirit empower them with the wisdom and courage to bring healing and hope to the lives of others in the name of Christ. We ask for your blessing of wisdom and creativity to be upon Chris and Candace, upon Calvin and Sarah, as they navigate their roles as parents. And we pray also for others of our community. And today we also hold before you Herb and Waldy and others in need of your healing and grace. We pray for the needs of the church, for new leadership, for the finances that support our joint witness of faith to the community. Bless Brother Paul as he shares from your word. Grant to us joy and wisdom in sharing all that life brings. And may we do it in the name of Christ, who leads and guides us as Savior and Lord. Amen. Gift on behalf of the church to help with your sharing of stories of Jesus in the days ahead as they grow and learn of him. Blessings to you. Thank you.
The call and response today will be from Isaiah 35. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. I will now be reading from Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 to 11. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect something else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he."
Thank you, Jenna. May God speak to our hearts through the reading of his word. This morning, as Marian was sharing with the children, speaking of what is it that you want for Christmas, I couldn't help but ask my dear wife, Candy. I said, "Candy," I said, "our granddaughter has said, Oma and Opa, I want a magic box." I don't even know what a magic box is, but apparently all of the children in our church know what magic boxes are. She's not getting one from us either. That Isaiah passage that Jenna read, thank you, Jenna, that's a beautiful, and as Marian said, it's filled with joy. It's an amazing text, and we have on the front cover of your bulletin the four lectionary scriptures, and Isaiah chapter 35 is certainly one of them, and it's in your bulletin, and I would urge you to just spend time just looking at those marvelous words, the joy, the water that floods the land. Please understand that for centuries, the Middle East, particularly that arid region that we now know as Israel, was a desert land. And yet, because of the Bedouins, they were a traveling people. They didn't set up crops. They were shepherds and so forth, and they cared for their their sheep, and they went to the different watering holes. But in this last century, in the 20th century particularly, Israeli engineers and the saltification project, they irrigated that desert land, and the crocuses were blooming, and the crops began to take form, and that dry, arid land became a lush. Many fruits and crops were produced in that land. During this season of Advent, we have been introducing that word restoration. And when I first shared with Megan the idea of having a table that was empty, except for maybe one little tree, but here we are on the third Sunday of Advent, and we got a whole group of trees, because this is to represent what began as an arid, dry area. The reforestation took place, and we are seeing growing before our very eyes these wonderful live trees. I think I had ideas of Megan going out into the forest and pulling out those little maple saplings, you know, that are this high, and putting a few of those. But these are lush and beautiful coniferous trees. And I'm hoping, Megan, that you find a good home for them once the Advent Christmas season is over. But this week's Advent scripture readings, it's all about joy. It's all about encouragement. And as these banners tell us on Advent 1, the first Sunday of Advent, it was all about hope. Second Sunday, all about peace. And this Sunday, of course, all about joy. The marvelous worship songs that our worship team led us in speaks of Emmanuel, God with us. And we never tire of emphasizing that theme in song, in the scriptures, in the preached word. And these banners are a wonderful reminder. Emmanuel, God with us. We can be strong and we can be filled with joy because of the one who can truly restore us. We talk about that word restoration, not only with regards to forests, but also with regards to lives. The mystery of God in transforming us. We pray for the little ones that their life would be shaped and they would learn to walk in the way of our Lord Jesus Christ. And from the youngest infant in our congregation to the eldest of our senior saints in this auditorium, we are all in the midst of God's restoration plan, transforming us. All of the scriptures encourage us with words that help us in the midst of our being transformed. That Isaiah passage that was read to us, it's an amazing passage. The passage from Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is encouraged to endure suffering because of the kingdom of God, even while he's in prison. Endure it. Endure the suffering. The feeble hands, the weak knees from Isaiah, the fearful hearts. Do not fear, because God will come and will bring restoration. Even the psalm that is appointed for this Sunday, which we have not read, Psalm 146, tells us that even though overwhelmed with issues in our life, the God of Jacob will be their help. Blessed is the one whose help is in the God of Jacob. Oh, it brings healing, and it brings hope, and it brings peace as we, from the youngest to the eldest in our midst, are involved in God's transformation project. When we address that theme of restoration, we must at least in part view it as a journey. God's ways do involve our transformation. The prophet Isaiah wrote words to express the very heart and the purposes of God in our restoration. That God was going to restore the land. That God was going to restore and transform the people. What came to mind as I sat with that Isaiah 35 passage was the mention of wilderness. and how from your experiences and mine, we can appreciate how change, how transformation happens. Climbing a mountain is both an internal mind game and a physical, oh, my aching body challenge. A number of years ago, while we were in the country of Israel, just outside of Syria, we looked northward towards Mount Hermon, that snow-capped mountain that feeds the waters to the Jordan River. We only climbed to the lowest of the elevations of that very sacred mountain, but we sure knew we were climbing by the effort that we were extending. Another story, some years ago, we trekked with our beloved son Stephen in the foothills of the Canadian Rockies, venturing up and over Rogers Pass. It was an effort that we were not physically prepared for. Our legs were throbbing and were burning. Come on, Mom and Dad, come on. Our son's legs were like ironwood tree trunks, and he was used to climbing great heights at great elevations. Now, each of us, we may not have climbed mountains, but each of us have had wanderings, whether it be along well-groomed trails, walking around your neighborhood or your favorite shopping mall, or climbing through the brush of the Bruce Trail. But who amongst us has not experienced the exhaustion, the long walk, the hike, or the mental fatigue and discipline of just putting one foot in front of the other? One part of the Isaiah passage we need to be encouraged by and find joy in is when Isaiah writes, "Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God comes." And you may say this morning, "Well, Paul, you preach it because my knees are giving me troubles. My hands are filled with arthritis. I'm getting weak, and my heart is fearful." Our God is in the restoration business. Yes, ultimately, in bestowing grace, in bestowing truth and life, infusing that life, that grace, into members of the human race, but individually, at our points of need. Oh God, you give grace in the midst of our struggles, in the midst of our weaknesses. I find myself being challenged when the going gets tough. Don't we say that? When the going gets tough, through the fatigue and through the cold and through climbing those elevations, the air may be clear of smog, but it's also a little thinner and it makes breathing a little bit more difficult. Can I share a personal story with you? After training on a treadmill through a long, cold, snowy Manitoba winter, I was preparing to run the Boston Marathon in April, and the famous Heartbreak Hill at mile 22. Many runners refer to it as the proverbial wall. Please allow me to boast a little. I trained on that treadmill in the basement with the incline at its highest elevation. I was so ready for Heartbreak Hill. During the race, 2004, 2007, 2011, 2016, not that I'm bragging, in my 50s and 60s. But during the race, with spectators cheering us on, I called out to them as I was running along, "When do we come to Heartbreak Hill?" I was so well trained, so focused on my goal to finish the race, that I had already crested the hill. You see, in the same way, we can see the parallel to our journey of faith and of transformation, moving forward, experiencing restoration each step of faith. In the Christian life, we are on planet Earth for such a brief period of time. The blink of an eye and our human existence has come to an end. And eternity waits. The bliss of glory awaits us. Our restoration will be complete. One of the classic Christian books that encouraged me as a young man speaks of training for reigning. Often it is in the wilderness experiences that we do experience growth, that we do experience hope. When we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, whether it be our own or a beloved family member or friend, we receive hope. We receive that moment by moment, day by day grace as we walk through those dark valleys. And God's glorious bliss awaits us as His children, our ultimate restoration with God. Yes, I believe that the wilderness can be very, very beautiful. The experience of the wild, the wildness of the forest, it can be so refreshing to the soul. Yet it can also have many hidden dangers, as we well know. Isaiah, in this most beautiful, colorful passage, displays for us all of the importance of life through God's salvation, God's restoration process. Isaiah writes of water bursting forth into the wilderness. I love that picture. And that all will be lush and green in the sprinkler systems that those engineers have installed will water the crops. Happy are those whose help is in the Lord. Would you encourage the preacher with an amen? Where have you found the beautiful parts of life, even amidst the trials and tribulations? Whether it be climbing up a steep grade or bearing the heavy load of life, it's important to ask God to be present and to give us support. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. Training and being a disciple in the school of Jesus Christ leads to a strengthening, leads to a transformation. Let's not lose heart and shy away from the training regime that God has set for each one of us. Allow God to do wonderful work in your life. It's part of your restoration process, preparing you for glory. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, with everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This training that we're speaking of this morning is not by human effort alone, such as is required to excel in any kind of activity or program or sport. It is the power of God and God's way of saving us, of sanctifying us, and preparing us for glory. Behold, your restoration is a work in process. Let's go back to the wilderness for a moment. And while there, let's hear the question of Jesus that he poses to the audience of his day, which is just as relevant today. Jesus said to the disciples, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" Matthew 11 and verse 7. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see?" Referring to John the Baptist. Jesus asked this question to a crowd of, after meeting John the Baptist's disciples, who were inquiring about Jesus' identity. "What have been the works of Christ that you have witnessed?" Well, the text tells us, the blind see, the lame pick up their mats, the lepers are cleansed, and even the dead are brought back to life. The wilderness is still a place of great searching and discovering that God is at work, that we are the evidence of this. Yes, I know, I too have been there in the wilderness. And it is a place that takes us to places, sometimes to find answers, sometimes to hold the uncertainty that not yet, the uncertainty of unanswered prayers. Allow Jesus to ask you this morning. Allow Jesus to ask you this morning, what lessons have you learned? Or what lessons will you learn in the wilderness? God is still in the business of using those wilderness experiences, traveling on unbroken trails, new pathways to transform us by his grace and presence. Be encouraged this morning. Be filled with joy this morning, because God gives us hope, peace, and joy in the wilderness while we wait for our ultimate restoration. Do not fear the wilderness. Do not avoid moving beyond your comfort zone. Do follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Do know. I feel a song coming on. My Lord knows the way through the... Don't you know that one? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. The same God that Isaiah saw is the same God who has revealed himself in his beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has come to restore all things and to transform us and prepare us for glory. And all of God's people said, worship.
Thank you, Paul, for bringing us the message today. Would you stand with us as we sing our final song for this morning, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Thank you.
Thank you, worship team. Let us pray. As our restoration draws near, let us go forth walking in the footsteps and the way of Jesus, preparing us for glory. Let us go in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.